You're listening to Sounds Good, and we are WKMS 91.3 Murray, 105.1 Madisonville, and we are online at WKMS.org. Yesterday, Murray State Board of Regents Chair Dr. Constantine Curris responded to a Kentucky Open Meetings complaint from Lexington attorney Jim Deckard. The complaint alleges that a social gathering of some of MSU's regents just prior to their most recent quarterly meeting was an illegal meeting because university business was discussed. And then the next day, the board voted 7-4 not to extend the contract of Murray State President Dr. Randy Dunn, prompting the resignation of faculty regent Dr. Jack Rose. So here to provide some details is WKMS News Director Chad Lampe. He has been covering this story. Chad, thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Todd. Thanks for having me here. And I think that what we're talking about here, two big pieces of information came down in this continuing story yesterday, was the return of a complaint by Lexington attorney Jim Deckard that the board or members of the board had violated Kentucky's Open Meetings Act by attending a social gathering, talking about university business, whether there are five or six board members there. And that response was provided to the attorney yesterday, Mr. Deckard, and that came through Murray State's legal counsel, John Rawl. Mm-hmm. And that response said basically that Dr. Curris would be happy to revisit the discussions that were had at the social gathering, but did not comply with the request of Deckard for all votes at that meeting that occurred following the social gathering to be null and void. Mr. Deckard has since said that he will appeal now to the Kentucky Attorney General, and we're waiting to find out more about the process there. And we do have a link to the Kentucky Open Meetings statute on our website, WKMS.org, with that story. The other story was that the Murray State University complied with an open meeting or an open records request, or as we call it in journalism, the Freedom of Information Act request, or a FOIA. We sent the FOIA to the secretary for the Board of Regents. That was then forwarded to the attorney for Murray State, and they have since complied and sent back the Ad Hoc Contract Review Committee. Now, the Ad Hoc Contract Review Committee is essentially a board of three, or a group of three board members, Chairman Constantine Curris, Vice Chairman Marilyn Buchanan, or Vice Chairwoman Marilyn Buchanan, and Finance Committee Chairman Stephen Williams. They had one meeting in February. That was February 13th, and that was in Louisville. And we attended that meeting, and they then set out the parameters by which they would assess a recommendation to or not to extend Murray State President Randy Dunn's contract. That meeting happened. They set aside those parameters, and since they had created this 17-page draft report, that's what we have a copy of, and that's online at WKMS.org. And that the 17-page report organizes their assessment in three broad areas: Murray State from 2006 to 2012, which includes academic standing, enrollment data, and financial management. And the second segment, resolutions and statements of support. And the third part was president and board relationships. Actually, there was a fourth issue, and that was future contract issues. So that's the broad scope, and that's the information that we now have on our website.
Well, could you give us a few more details about what is contained in the 17-page report?
Well, that could take me a long time, but I can give you kind of the bird's eye view of and again, there's a much longer story at WKMS.org if you'd like to read about that. The first aspect of Murray State from 2006 to 2012 included academic standings, and that included professional accreditations, and that mm-hmm. would be anything from the Commission on Accreditation of Athletic Training Education to the National Council for Accreditation of Teacher Education. And by and large, the number of professional accreditations have stayed the same over the last 6 years, with the exception of one counseling accreditation dropped voluntarily, and the university is now seeking that accreditation again, and the addition of a preliminary accreditation for the Interior Design Department at Murray State. Mm-hmm. So the professional accreditations seem to be fairly standard. They haven't changed much. The next aspect are academic rankings, and that includes the things that you hear on WKMS on occasion. There are underwriting credits that Murray State has on WKMS that explain whether or not they were a Kiplinger's Best Value, or if right. they were published in Forbes magazine or U.S. News and World Report. Well, in 2006, they were rated 54 in Kiplinger's Best Value in Public Colleges. In 2012, they're no longer listed in the top 100. Murray State is listed as a Best Buy in Forbes magazine and one of America's Best Colleges, both in Forbes. Mm-hmm. In 2007, Murray State was ranked 56th. In 2008, 322nd for America's best colleges. And those numbers have dropped considerably from 56 to 96 to from 322 to 547. Mm-hmm. In U.S. News and World Report, the top regional universities in the South, that dropped very slightly from 6 to 7, and top comprehensive regionals in the South, 17 to 20. But again, this listing shows, in general, a drop in those rankings. However, mm-hmm. the Ad Hoc Contract Review Committee did not find it necessary to include reports that were in GI Jobs magazine, a military-friendly school. I think Murray State is ranked as one of those, mm-hmm. as well as the Chronicle on Higher Education or Chronicle of Higher Education reporting. Mm-hmm. Murray State is a great place to work for. So there are some of these academic rankings that may be more geared to maybe workplace environment that were not included in this list. And then they move on to ACT scores that show Murray State's ATC scores have been stagnant for incoming freshmen. The 25th percentile at 19 is on their ACT and the 75th percentile at 25. They compared those rankings to other Kentucky universities, Eastern, Morehead, Northern, and Western. Mm-hmm. And their reports have been by and large, have increased slightly, but we're talking 1 point either way. So you would say that while they did have marginal increases, with the exception of Eastern on the high end of that, it was a very marginal increase. They also included a national survey of student engagement where this was all compared with peers, and this was the 2012 NSSE, or National Survey of Student Engagement, and it assesses levels of academic challenge, active and collaborative learning, student-faculty interaction, enriching educational experiences, supporting campus environment. It goes on and on. But by and large, Murray State fared well among these rankings, no major gaps in any of the reporting and no major gaps between Murray State and other institutions. But if you want to see all the details, again, this is all at WKMS.org.
Well, you refer to the student body. There have certainly been reactions throughout the MSU community, the immediate community here on campus, from staff and certainly the faculty senate. Could you talk about those a bit?
That's part of the resolutions of support, part of this ad hoc contract review committee draft report. And again, this wasn't discussed at the Board of Regents meeting on March 15th, where the board decided to take action and vote not to renew Dr. Dunn's contract. So that, again, it wasn't discussed and it wasn't made public until yesterday. Mm-hmm. As far as the resolutions of support, they included resolutions of support from the Staff Congress, the Faculty Senate, and the West Kentucky Educational Cooperative, which included I think something like 20 school superintendents right around there, or 27 school districts representing 27 school districts signed a letter in support. Also, there were 18 other letters sent to the Ad Hoc Contract Review Committee, 14 of which were positive in support for Dr. Dunn to receive a contract extension, 4 were negative. Also, 3 former regents are among those 18 letters. Former Board Chairman Alan Stout had sent a letter, former Regent Jeff Taylor, Judge Jeff Taylor, and former Regent Peg Hayes of Hopkinsville. So those 3 letters were also among those 18. Mm-hmm. And we don't have copies of those letters. We will send in a request to receive those to look at both the positives and negatives.
Well, there's ongoing reaction from the Faculty Senate discussing membership in the American Association of University Professors, is there not?
The Faculty Senate held a special meeting earlier this week. Now, the Faculty Senate as a whole did not endorse any action with a union. This was solely a meeting that occurred right after the Faculty Senate meeting, where a small group of people gathered to elect officers and to begin the process of establishing a union. Mm-hmm. And now Faculty Senate President Kevin Benfield was one of those members.
Right, okay.
Again, he didn't take an official role with this AAUP chapter forming, but in his comments to me, he just hoped that forming a chapter would help strengthen the faculty voices because their request for Dr. Dunn's contract to be renewed was not received. Mm-hmm. by the board. Not, they physically received it, but they did not act on their recommendation.
And we don't have a time frame right now for the Attorney General Jack Conway's response.
Well, no, it has to be filed first, and then I believe it's 10 days upon receipt, and that's 10 business days upon receipt. But again, all the details are there online at WKMS.org. Also, some of the interesting aspects of this report include enrollment data, where the largest discrepancy in the enrollment data is a 13% drop overall in enrollment at satellite campuses or regional campuses like at our Henderson campus, the Hopkinsville campus, Madisonville, and Paducah. Now, Madisonville was the only campus that showed growth between 2006 and 2012, but cumulatively together, it was a 13% overall drop. And now, again, though, this draft did not include anything or any information related to online enrollment, whether part-time, full-time, or otherwise. And also, there are comparative numbers between enrollment, full-time fall enrollment, or fall headcount enrollment, they call it. And that's full-time, not any part-time students. And I think that's here. Murray State grew by let me see. I've got a lot of papers here in front of me. Let me make sure I get this correct in my report here. Again, Murray State, though, grew by 5.1%. That's fall headcount enrollment, and that is not full-time. That's just fall headcount. But again, Murray State grew at 5.1%, where you saw a school, Moorhead, grow 23.8%. Some of this can be attributed to some of the high school programs that these universities are starting, dual enrollment courses for high school students. But again, they're not full-time students. And Murray State was right in the middle of the full-time enrollment growth. But these are – I mean, they're really mincing
there's a lot more statistics behind these numbers.
Yeah, there's quite a bit. Here's the fall full-time enrollment. Among Eastern, Moorhead, Northern, Western, and Murray State, Northern showed the greatest increase at 10.1%. This is from 2006 to 2012. This information also comes from the Council on Postsecondary Education and IPEDS, which is a place for higher ed information. It's called the Integrated Postsecondary Education Data System, where they're finding these numbers. Murray State came in at 1.5% cumulative growth for fall full-time enrollment from 2006 to 2012. And they are just above Moorhead State. So Moorhead would be the lowest growth, Murray State second lowest, and then the rest are higher than that.
And all this information we have links to at WKMS.org?
Yeah, it's quite a long document. It takes a little while to get through, but if you're interested and you really want to know, that it's all there at WKMS.org. And also the financial report, which is, from what I've learned now in more research, an overall positive financial report. Some of the things that may appear negative also are connected to the market downturn in 2008 that appears as fiscal year 2009, the way our fiscal years work here. So it's just very detailed. There's still more to do. There's still follow-up to do because this is a draft report from the committee. I'm following up with other institutions. Some of the comparative institutions listed for fall full-time enrollment are not the benchmark institutions that Murray State competes with. For example, there was no information connected to enrollment at University of Tennessee at Martin. There was no enrollment information for Southern Illinois University at Carbondale, no enrollment information for Southeast Missouri State University or Austin Peay State University. And those are the institutions, if you attend board meetings and they show statistics relating to competition or price, enrollment, those universities are typically there. And they're not included in this document, and we will find out those numbers to see where Murray State stands. You know, whether or not Northern Kentucky University saw 10% growth, which is near a metropolitan area, has more people to recruit from in their immediate service region, but they also have more competition. You have to think about it that way. There's just some information that's not here that could provide more context for folks wanting to know, and that's what we'll be spending our time looking for.
Now, next hour, we're going to hear your conversation with Kentucky's 1st District U.S. Congressman Ed Whitfield. Can you give us a foretaste of what you'll be speaking about?
Congressman Whitfield spent some time here to talk about some of the big issues he's working on for the district while in Washington, including the restriction of tailwater fishing on Cumberland River dams. They are operated by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Now, Kentucky Lake on the Tennessee River, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that is operated by the TVA. And so there's a difference there. TVA allows tailwater fishing. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers plans to not allow this. They're enforcing a new they're enforcing a rule that's been on their books that they're interpreting differently. And so Congressman Whitfield has been working to prevent the Corps from from doing that so that people can fish there. Also, we'll hear about works to keep the Paducah Gaseous Diffusion Plant operating, whether through USEC or another company that may come in and operate. The USEC operations end in May. Also, we hear about Congressman Whitfield's view on the Defense of Marriage Act. Mm-hmm. And Congressman Whitfield also weighs in on the decision not to renew Murray State President Randy Dunn's contract.
Hmm.
So it's a great conversation with Congressman. We appreciate him stopping by. He was also in town for a town hall yesterday on campus.
Okay, looking forward to it. Chad Lampe is WKMS News Director. Chad, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Todd.